following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning once again, everyone. Welcome back to the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. As the month of April is winding down, we have a jam-packed program today. We talk everything from baseball to horse racing and a little bit in between, all-time softball team from the area. We're going to talk about that as it's that time of the season. Willie Bloomquist of the Kansas City Royals is going to join us here in just a second. We're also going to be joined by Jim Bovey, head coach of the Hastings College baseball team. They get ready to host the GPAC Conference Tournament beginning tomorrow. Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times will join us to talk about the Kentucky Derby, the draw going on today, and we will break down that field. A lot of horses already having to pull out because of injury on the program today. And Dan Simmons from UNK is going to join us as well to talk about the RMAC all-time softball team. But the Royals come out on the short end of an 8-1 decision last night, Tony. But they've been playing, and I guess getting through April maybe a little bit better than they have in the past.
Well, I think that, you know, you always look at that schedule, and you always see the Yankees and some of those tough teams, which they put on the schedule for the Royals for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody out there. You always shake your head and go, well, if we get through this 3-4 games below 500, we'll probably be all right. But got off to a hot start, and one of the reasons for that is Willie Bloomquist, who they acquired in the offseason from Seattle, and he joins us right now on the Doug and Danny Show. Willie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Willie, thanks for giving us some time here in this middle of the homestand. Coming out of Bremerton, Washington, went to Arizona State, and you've only been here for 11 games, I guess. So I guess your first impressions of how things, or for the month, I guess we should say, this first month, first season coming out of Seattle, your impressions of what the Royals have been able to do here in the first month.
Well, you know, I think you sit back and take a look at it. I guess it's okay. Obviously, we could be better. Record-wise, I think. But if you take a look at it, our pitching staff has done a great job, and not giving up a whole lot of runs and keeping us in a lot of ball games. Quite honestly, I don't think we've swung the bats anywhere near what we're capable of doing. And still to be at a 500 mark or real close to it, I don't know if we're a game over 500 or at 500, I'm not sure. But to be right around there and still not with our offense, still trying to find its stride, I think, it's a good sign, because I think once we get rolling and start swinging the bats a little bit better, and if our pitching staff continues to do what they're doing, we're going to be just fine, and couple that in with a few injuries that we've had, I think we're going to be fine in the long run.
Willie, I think there's a strange question for a major leaguer, but what position do you play? And I think that's one of the three reasons that made you attractive to the Kansas City Royals, is because you are very versatile.
Well, I mean, I think, that's kind of been my MO. That's how I got to the big leagues, was because when I was with Seattle, we had Brett Boone locked up for a number of years at second base, and Carlos Guillen at shortstop, and Jeff Cirillo at third base. So, they basically came to me when I was in AAA. I was coming up as a second baseman, and they just said, look, if you want to crack into the big leagues, you're going to have to be able to play them all. And, at the time, I'm like, shoot, yeah, whatever I got to do to get there. So they kind of asked me to become sort of a do-it-all Mark McLemore sort of type, and I kind of took it in stride and did the best I could do at it. And after a couple of years of it, they said, well, we think you're too valuable to put you at one position because you can play them all. So here I am continuing to do that. Things never get old and boring at one position, that's for sure. So it's a job, and I enjoy it. One of these days, hopefully, if things work out in my favor, I can settle down in one position. But in the meantime, if this is what I have to do to continue doing, then that's what I'll do.
Well, you look much more comfortable in the outfield than the left fielder for the Mets do. They're having all sorts of troubles out there.
Well, I've been there before, too, where it just seems like you can't do anything right out there. But, I That guy will figure it out, I'm sure.
Willie Bloomquist of the Kansas City Royals joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Willie, some injuries have hit Kansas City early on here. Guillen now back in the lineup. Gordon still out. Gilmesh, stiffness in the back. Can we put you in the starting rotation if need be?
Gosh, I hope not. there was a situation last year where we were in about the 14th inning, and they asked me if I could pitch. And I said, well, if you need me. And fortunately, Jamie Burke, our backup catcher at the time, went ahead and pitched, and he ended up getting the loss chalked up on him instead of me. So but I hope I don't have to pitch ever, or catch for that matter.
Willie, coming over to the Kansas City Royals, I guess you looked at the pitching staff, and maybe from the outside you thought, yeah, these guys are okay, but certainly not one of the two or the three best in Major League Baseball. What's been so exceptional about the way they've been able to get people out this year?
Well, they've been amazing. The biggest thing is they're working ahead, getting ahead and staying ahead, and letting the defense do what we do. So they've been doing a great job, and if they do get into a little bit of a jam, they seem to be, instead of panicking, they're doing a great job of limiting the runs they give up in an inning. Hasn't been too many big innings, so you know, as long as you keep us in the game and give us a chance to win and give our offense a chance to get going, that's a sign of mature, good pitching. And you know, I think Gil and Zach and Banny's done a great job, and KD's done a great job, and for that matter, Sydney's done a great job. So they've all been lights out, and like I said, hopefully our offense can start picking it up a little bit more and scoring some more runs for them.
Do you have to go give Farnsworth hugs after his pitching appearances?
You know, if he should happen to give up a hit or two or whatever, it's best to kind of stay away. But I'm not going to be that guy that goes to give him a hug and trying to get him going. You know, Farns is tougher on himself than anybody is, and he's got great stuff, and it's just he's going to be just fine. And everyone's got all the confidence in the world in him when he comes in the game, and you know, there's just been couple of great hitters that have got the best of them early on, but I'm confident in him. I think our whole team's confident in him that, he still throws 98 miles an hour with a pretty nasty slider, so he's going to be just fine. So we're not too concerned about Farnsey.
Willie Bloomquist of the Royals joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, it's still early for Kansas City. You've kind of talked about the pitching staff. Overall, your thoughts, I guess, when you came over to the Royals going into spring training, and maybe now that there's 20 games under the belt, where you think this team is talent-wise as far as maybe being able to take it that next step or to that next level this year?
Well, I think, honestly, the sky's the limit. And coming over and being on the outside looking in the past few years against Kansas City, you knew they had a lot of young players that are just about to come into their own, and they're getting better and better each year. And that's kind of what made this place attractive for me. It's like, look, man, I think those guys got a good young nucleus, and they're going to be really good. If I can go in and be a part of that and help out in any way I can, that would be, I think it's an organization on the rise. So, that was the attractive thing about me coming over, but getting to know these guys, yeah, it's definitely, I think attitude is the biggest thing. Guys have a great attitude around here, and everyone's pulling for each other, and it's kind of 25 guys going in the same direction, and anytime you have that, you can be a dangerous team. So that's the biggest thing I've been impressed with is the work ethic, the guys that want to play and want to get better and want to win. So, like I said, early on, we're a 500 mark, but I think we could be a much better team than that.
Willie, have you already got a favorite restaurant in Kansas City?
There's a couple of them. I'm a big fan of the Jack Stack barbecue.
All right.
Seems to be pretty good. I'm impressed with that, and that's probably my favorite so far.
I was going to say, Willie, Daddy always asks about that because we love Kansas City, and, of course, he's been there numerous times. And the only Major League Baseball player that I could think of that uniform would fit Daddy would be the old David Wells or maybe Gagne. with the pajama top. So he loves the restaurants.
Jack Stack, one of my favorites.
Yeah,
too.
I know you love Jack Stack. Willie, I guess final question before we let you get out of here. You've seen a few opponents so far. I guess on the other side, coming from Seattle and seeing all these American League teams, who on the other side of the diamond, other dugout, has impressed you here in this first month?
Well, you know, I think Cleveland is grossly underrated. I think their offense is what they did to the Yankees. You know, I think they're a team that's up and coming. You know, our whole Central Division's, you know, I think pretty much everybody I know and every sports radio show and sports shows says that the Central's basically a toss-up. You know, anyone who gets hot at the right time could take this division. That's why it's we have a great shot at our division, I think. But, you know, gosh, there's, you know, teams we haven't seen yet that I think are pretty legit. But, you know, these guys that we're playing right now, Toronto is about as hot a team as you can face, and got off to a great start. And they have a pretty good balance of speed and power in their lineup, and their pitching staff's pretty good, and, you know, even with a couple injuries that they have. So, you know, I'm impressed with this team that we're playing tonight. I think they got a pretty good idea what they're doing, and I think they're a pretty decent team. But, you know, everyone in the Central seems to be pretty evenly matched for the most part.
Willie, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and watch out for that cheesy corn bake.
All right, we'll do.
All right, Willie, thank you. Willie Bloomquist, Kansas City Royal, in his first month with the team. He had played the last 8 seasons with Seattle coming up in 2002, so now a member of the Kansas City Royals. I guess we should say 7 seasons with Seattle, then on to Kansas City here. He's hitting .308 so far in 11 games for Kansas City. He's been a West Coast boy his whole life, growing up in Washington, going to Arizona State, and then playing with Seattle. So rare that this would seem East, but it's Midwest for Willie here at Kansas City.
Yeah, before the season, I think I read an article where he played every position with the Seattle Mariners except catcher and pitcher. So very versatile. I think that made him attractive to the Kansas City Royals. They can move him around, especially now that you get some injury situations going on. It should be interesting to see where he shows up.
You played a lot of Legion baseball, and you were very versatile. Did you ever pitch and catch in the same game?
No.
Outfield? First base?
No. First base.
First base. You were the power-hitting first baseman?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. All I could think of while we were talking to Willie, he sounded a lot like Terry Douglas, you know, when we interviewed Terry from the Independent. So, you know, it sounded a lot like that. So there's a couple quality guys. Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox. Scott in Wilcox says, Doug, what better way to watch the Yankees than when they're losing? The overpriced morons got what they deserved. Signed, a loyal Cardinal fan. P.S. My wife is a diehard Cub fan. Speaking of which, the Yankees-Tigers will be on tonight on ESPN television. The Yankees, you know, it was beautiful last night because what, they scored 10 runs in the seventh? Good, good. You won 11-0. Now continue on your losing ways. Congratulations. Ken in Kearney says, Soho, my email of last Friday was declared bull by Doug the Duffer Duda. You got to get out of the weeds and stalking, Ken. So be it. I am fully aware that you guys suffer from amnesia from time to time, so let me refresh your memory. I do remember you fellows trashing John the Slugger Buck on several occasions last year. I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. John Buck's our favorite Royal. Although his batting average has nothing to do with his catching, I have this to report. His once lofty .350 average has slipped badly. He is 0-15 in his last 5 games. I suspect he will be back to his normal .225 before long. Trash me if you like, but I predict that Alex Gordon will be wearing a different uniform next year. It all depends on how good a year TN has. I think he will not want to give up third base again. Your ardent fan and pal, Kent. Care to address any of that?
Well, I think it's interesting because he looked to be the franchise, kind of one of those face of the franchise, if you will, in Kansas City. Never has come into his own. I think if he gets hot, I think Kansas City locks him up, being where his proximity to his hometown, the fan base that he had at Nebraska. I think that that's certainly a drawing card for people to follow Alex Gordon's career. I would be very surprised if he's in a different uniform.
Well,
now, if he doesn't get it going, I don't know what uniform it matters if he's in.
So should we make Ken the Ace Hardware and Toro Bull or Noble email yet again? Alex Gordon will be in a
bull.
Different uniform. It's Bull. Daddy says it's Bull, Ken. Brought to you by Ace Hardware and Toro, getting you ready for summer. Coming up, Dan Simmons, named the coach of the All-RMAC softball team, the history of the RMAC softball, named the greatest coach that ever lived. Also, four members of that team of the 12 were from UNK, and they all played for Dan. We'll talk about that. We'll also be talking with Jim Bovee, Hastings College Baseball, and Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times Kentucky Derby Preview, all coming up. Stay with us after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The Doug and Daddy Show, little known fact number 32. Big Daddy Tony Davis is one of very few men who are comfortable enough with their masculinity to sing Tiffany's I Think We're Alone Now on karaoke night at the bar.
Without looking at the monitor.
I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think we're alone now. The ticking of our hearts is the only sound.
I think we're alone now.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam. Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Dad. Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a Trane.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the Right Health Plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Baseball is back, and after a long, hard day of work, stop by Slugger's. Sit back and relax while watching your favorite baseball team play on the big screen. Enjoy a cold beverage and a pretty damn good charburger while talking baseball with knowledgeable people. Slugger's, your local baseball paradise. And check out the new outdoor beer garden. Slugger's, just a long fly ball off South Locust at 707 Anna Grand Island. Pounding pitchers all day long.
Big Red Football for three nights next week. Come see Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated live at Ball Sports Bar Tuesday from 7 until 9. Wednesday at Bullseyes in Hastings from 4 to 6. Thursday in Kearney at Fanatics from 7 until 9. Balls, Bullseyes, and Fanatics. That about says it all. Complete details at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Mainly cloudy skies will continue across the area today as we'll see more scattered showers and a few storms possible around the area as well, with high temperatures in the upper 60s. Southeast winds will stay at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Skies stay cloudy tonight with a possibility of some showers and storms. Lows back to 50. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug, don't forget, this Friday, 2009, American Legion Barbecue going on just south of the Event Center, Broadfoot Sand and Gravel. Event will include live auction, silent auction, adult games, and raffles. Check it out. Fun for the entire family. Got a kids zone set up out there. You want tickets? Call Rick Ryan at 627-5218. That's 627-5218. All proceeds will fund the American Legion juniors and seniors for this upcoming 09 season. Come for some great barbecue and support the American Legion baseball program. Broadfoot Sand and Gravel, just south of the interstate in Kearney.
It's right there by the First Tier Event Center.
Right.
Oh, it's not. I don't know. We haven't been officially told, I guess. So should we just call it Nebraska's Event Center?
No, I'd say
The event center?
I'd say the event center.
The building out there that Kirk Brooks owns?
There you go.
Brooks Incorporated. Well, yesterday, Daddy, and this has been going on again throughout the sports season, the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference is celebrating their 100th anniversary. And as we've kind of joked in the past, the sports, for most of them, only encompass if 30 years. And softball is one of those that's been around a little bit longer overall, maybe has a little deeper history than some. But of all the 19 sports, they are selecting their all-time teams. Well, yesterday, they released the top 12 players and the head coach of the all-time RMAC team. Four members of UNK are on the 12-member all-time team. Now, the top player is Kelly Adams, who played for Mesa State. But the four Lopers are Jill McCaslin, Darcy Berry, along with Laura Espenmiller, and also Amanda Kelly. Now, the coach, who has a great tenure at the University of Nebraska Kearney and still is at the University of Nebraska Kearney, just not coaching anymore, is Dan Simmons. And Dan joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Coach, congratulations on this honor.
Oh, thank you.
This is one of those things I guess we joked about before. I don't think this was a big surprise. I mean, your record and your team's record while you coached between 94 and 2000 was well above anything that we're seeing now.
Well, you know, it was a good ride. I was fortunate. I had some really talented players, and we got on a roll, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of great memories.
Well, Dan, you got a third of the damn team. I mean, that's remarkable for no longer than UNK had a program.
Well, you see, you want to surround yourself with talented people, then you end up looking talented too.
Well, Dan, as you take a look at going back, and I guess let's start with some of those kids that all played for you during that time. It's hard to pick one that was the best UNK player of all time, but I believe the earliest on this list out of all the UNK players, you go all the way back. Laura Espenmiller started for you back when you kind of started. She was a two-time RMAC Player of the Year.
Well, yeah, actually, Jill McCaslin probably would be the senior status member. I think she played in the earlier years back then. But we were really fortunate. We had some really good stars, and there were a lot of other talented players that played too. Unfortunately, I'm so happy that four got picked. But if I was going to live or die with a team, I'd have picked all 12. So from Kearney.
Dan, when you think back, and obviously the runs and national titles and stuff got to be fond memories for you. Is there one tournament or one place where you maybe upset some people that you still think back and go, man, that was a special time?
You know, we were fortunate. We won quite a few championships, and there's a lot of big games. And, actually what is more important to me is the relationships and some of the players and stuff. I mean, I've gone on to see what some of these kids have done with their lives. And you know, as you get older, you realize that hopefully all those things that they learned and did and as hard as they worked carried on in life. And I think, to me, I'm seeing, look at Jill. She's working on her PhD right now in counseling. Amanda Kelly, Darcy Berry, Laura Espinler. I mean, these people have gone on and been very, very successful, and not just those, on with the other players. And so, you know, to me, the softball was tremendously important, and we attacked every game and every pitch like our life depended on it. But I've seen those kids take that thing on in their life, and to me, that's what makes me really proud of them.
Dan Simmons, former UNK softball coach, who was named the all-time top coach of the RMAC softball all-century team, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You took four teams to the Elite Eight, and you made it to the finals that special year in 1999. You've got to have some things click to be able to make it that deep, but to get in the realm and be able to do it more than once with some of these kids, you went on a really good ride there in 99.
You know, it was fun, and again, we used several different athletes. We had some good pitchers. We were really fortunate to have a solid pitching staff during that period of time. Some others that are not on the list, but Cindy Cohn and Lisa Graff My gosh, those kids, Tina McCassin, those kids really, really pitched well. Fortunately, you know, Amanda had a season that was just so dominating in 99. But those kids also, they did really well, carried this team a long ways.
Dan, go back to when you started. Was it NAIA then?
Yes, we were NAIA.
Okay, well, the difference when you went into the RMAC is what?
Well, actually, people don't know this, but 1990, we were in the RMAC for one weekend. This is a true story. We had a little political thing happen. We had not played in the RMAC all year during the season, but they invited us to their conference tournament because we were the new member, and they said, hey, come on out and play. We went out, won the tournament. Susan Johnson was pitching for us at the time. We walked right through that tournament, won it, got back home, and on Monday found out we were no longer in the conference anymore. Maybe if we'd have got second, they wouldn't have kicked the whole UNK out of the conference. I don't know.
Wow. Now there, so evidently the sportsmanship trophy didn't follow. I'll tell you what, Dan Simmons is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The great run that they made in all of these in all these tournaments, and I guess one thing that we have seen, I guess especially since you've moved on from the head coaching ranks, and I know you're not there with the week-to-week preparations, but still have an eye on it, the RMAC has definitely changed and has become a much stronger conference, don't you think?
Well, you know, I think UNK has been a leading contributor in that factor because other people, if they want to compete with us, they've had to step up their programs a little bit. And I think UNK has been tremendously valuable in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, and we're finding now it's harder for us to dominate with all sports trophies and that kind of thing because other people have put so much into their programs.
Well, Dan, we know that you got some items to get up to. Probably lunch is on your, you know, on your agenda for coming up here. But hey, congratulations to you and all the girls. And we see that the Lopers are going to be playing out at Denver this week. So hopefully the 2009 team can keep it going for a while. But congratulations to you and the girls that made the RMAC all-time softball team.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Simmons, should have asked him where the band's playing next. What was I thinking? I think the band's probably rocking it up somewhere here. So Dan, also a musical talent there, and does a great job with UNK. But boy, you look at some of these teams and go, wow, you can tell who dominated, but four of the 12, I think that's pretty,
it says it all. Yeah, I don't.
Of course, current UNK coach Holly Carnes was a member of Dan Simmons's team and 99 team that made that.
Assistant coach Michelle Broderson, yeah, member of those teams as well. So
congratulations, Dan, and that whole crew for the things that they've done. Jim Bobey, Hastings College Baseball, Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times, coming up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The answer, 644. The question.
How many complaint letters have we gotten on the Doug and Daddy Show in the last month?
There's a belief in baseball that when a team is down, if their fans and players turn their hats inside out, the team will come back. And you know what? America could use a little comeback right now. So let's put on our rally caps and dig in. At Chevy, we're reinventing the ownership experience, introducing the Total Confidence Plan. It starts with our fully backed 5-year or 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, whichever comes first. Then the safety and security of OnStar, standard for 1 year on most Chevy vehicles. And something never seen before. Vehicle value protection. When you buy a new car, we'll help protect its retail value at trade-in time. And if you lose your job, we'll make your payments up to $500 a month for up to 9 months. It's time to reinvent. It's time to rally with a Total Confidence Plan. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for details and limitations. Protection programs provided by Service Plan Incorporated and Sinnoh Shore Financial Incorporated. Restrictions apply. Take delivery by 6109. See participating dealer for details. Excludes medium-duty trucks.
Just arrived at Crossroads Ford in Kearney, right out of the Ford sale. Two 2009 Mercury Grand Marquis LS four-doors, loaded leather, low miles, has the ultimate package. Here's a 2007 Lincoln Town Car Signature Limited. It has the sunroof, leather, and front heated seats. Look at this, a 2009 Ford Mustang Convertible Low Mile CD6 in leather. Business is great, and we are dealing. See us today. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Crossroads is the best, and Crossroads.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both
personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent, and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Mainly cloudy skies will continue across the area today as we'll see more scattered showers and a few storms possible around the area as well, with high temperatures in the upper 60s. Southeast winds will stay at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Skies stay cloudy tonight with a possibility of some showers and storms. Lows back to 50. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. News that kind of broke a couple of weeks ago and people have been talking about for a long time became official today. The University of Nebraska at Omaha has chosen former Nebraska football star Trev Alberts as its new athletic director. Chancellor John Christensen announced the hiring at the top of the hour at a news conference in Omaha. So, Alberts says he wants to give up sports commentary, begin a new career in athletic administration. Why wouldn't you? It pays more. You know what also pays more?
Planning. Oh, Dyna-Gro. They've got new genetics with excellent yield, performs well with high populations, semi-flex ears with very good test weight. They've got it at Dyna-Gro. Very good late-season intactness. They've got it at Dyna-Gro. Great late-season standability. They've got it at Dyna-Gro. Check out Dyna-Gro's YieldGuard VT Triple. YieldGuard protection for full genetic potential, improved consistency, better insect protection, better root protection, the Roundup Ready to technology system, which includes broad spectrum weed control and proven crop safety. Dyna-Gro is where it's at. We tell you three times a week, right here on the Doug and Day Show, you want to maximize profit potential, you need Dyna-Gro in your farming operation. What are you talking, corn? What are you talking, soybeans? I know you're just getting started planting the soybeans, maybe in a week, wait a week to let that ground warm up. Soybeans at Dyna-Gro still available. 1-800-652-9298.
Well, the baseball and softball seasons are into the postseason now for most of the area teams. UNK will wrap up the regular season against Regis this weekend. They're scheduled to host Doan tonight, weather permitting. The rain has already washed out day one of the GPAC softball tournament up in Sioux City, so Hastings will play Doan tomorrow at 2. And also scheduled to get underway tomorrow in Hastings at Duncan Field in the Smith Complex is the GPAC Conference baseball tournament. And going in as the number 2 seed, picked to finish 8th in the conference, finishing 2nd, the Hastings Broncos. And Coach Jim Bovey joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. Thanks for giving us some time again. I guess first off, you proved some of the folks wrong. A good, good conference season for your team.
Yeah, we were really excited with how the conference went for us. You know, we added a major piece of the puzzle at semester in A.J. Clark and had some other guys step up in some absences of some people we lost from the year before. And you know, when the season started, we thought a top four finish was possible for us. You always hope that things will break right. You could be number one, but we're certainly not complaining about finishing second.
Well, Coach, you finished second, and congratulations. You get to go 9 o'clock in the morning.
And we get to go at the Smith Complex. So somebody asked me yesterday, how can the host not play at Duncan the first day? And when we drew up this bracket, you know, we're taaking advantage of the fact that both fields have lights, and we were going to make everybody play one game each spot. And actually, when we drew up the bracket, we were 1 or 8 when we drew up that bracket, so we would have been playing at Duncan. And actually, this is the first time that we've had the tournament here that we'll have to open at Smith. But, you know, that was the site of one of our better wins last year in the tournament, so we hope that we can put that aside and play as well as we have been lately.
I want to go back to the start time. When you don't play at that time at all throughout the year, how does that affect the kids and their preparation?
Well, you hope that it's a big enough game that it doesn't. But, you know, once in a while you practice that early or you get up to go drive on the road and there's some guys that they struggle a little bit at that early morning hour, and you just hope that, since the game is as big as it is, it's not going to be a factor. Now, the thing that we've got thrown in there is, you know, the weather. We could be scrambling around trying to get fields ready before we get started also. So that's the reason a lot of people don't want to host a tournament is because there's so many other things to worry about besides your team, and I guess you just hope that your seniors and your veterans will kind of take over the making sure the team is ready to play and you get some help on campus to administrate the event and you can pull everything off smoothly.
Jim Bovee, head coach of the Hastings College baseball team, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you draw Morningside in the first round. This is a team that had no problem with most of their competition in the non-conference portion of the year, but 13-11 in the conference is only good enough for a seven-hole here. It's not like you're going to be taking on a team that's lacking in talent.
No, and in fact, we had the all-conference meeting yesterday, and while that hasn't been released, I mean, there's Morningside people all over that team. And I got off the phone and called one of my coaching friends in the league. I said, how in the world are we going to beat Morningside? I mean, they've just got impressive athletes, and they got great numbers, and we don't have as many like that. And so they're going to be a tough task for us. I'm assuming we're going to see their number one out of the gate. And I think they will come down here feeling this is a bit of a chance at redemption for them because I'm sure they're disappointed with how the season has gone after being picked number one. But you're right. You look at our two records. You think you got the seeds wrong. You think that we should be the seventh seed and they should be the second when you look at the overall record.
Coach, you mentioned their number one. Will you throw your number one? Interesting situation with a two versus a seven.
Well, yeah, we're going to go with McCann. You know, he's our most veteran pitcher, and he's 7-3 on the year, and we're going to go with him out of the gates. And then, you know, we really feel like we got three guys that are pretty good and are capable of throwing like a number one in terms of A.J. Clark and Alex Kuchera. And we might wait to see what our circumstance is and who we're playing before we decide who's going to throw that second game. But you know, the first day are seven-inning games, and we're going to run McCann out there right away. And, you know, if he's on, he can really keep us in a ball game. And you know, a lot of times the key to getting big hits is for your pitching staff to keep you close enough that you can wait to get that big hit.
Jim Bovee joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jim, I guess we broke down your game a little bit. Assess the tournament as a whole. Who's hot right now? Who would you not want to play outside of Morningside?
Well, you know, Nebraska Wesleyan had a really nice year and won the league, but they already know they're going to the next round, so you never know for sure how a team's going to play in that situation. Some teams play relaxed and are world beaters, and some end up going through the motion, so I really don't know how they're going to come out. The tough thing in a baseball tournament is who the number one pitcher is. You know, sometimes the number 17 can have the best pitcher in the league.
Right.
And, you know, and so, I mean, I really think that we probably have the toughest matchup, and of course you're going to say, well, that's typical coach speak. But I think they're really good. You know, I think Dakota Wesleyan athletically is really good, you know. So I think those are two teams that I just think on paper look really strong to me.
Well, and Jim, we talked about the pitching staff for you. Who's been swinging the bat well here the last couple of weeks?
Well, our big numbers are coming from Joe Jonjake, of course, as usual. And then Blake Marquardt, who was a transfer in from McCook Community College, has really come on. And you know, about a month ago, he was hitting about 265, and I think he's hitting almost 340 right now. And so he's been a real pleasant surprise. And then Chris Denny, a guy who we really had penciled in as a pitcher, we got a bunch of injuries out in the outfield, and we had to put him out there in the outfield, and he's hitting about 340 for us just the last half of the year coming in as a starting outfielder. So those three guys have kind of been the guys with the big numbers. But then John Rivera, a freshman for us who's playing first base, won two games for us last week with home runs. So, you know, you hope that, you know, we know teams are going to concentrate on Jonjake, but we hope that we got some other guys that are going to do some damage for us.
Well, and obviously we're waiting for the all-conference selections probably to come out this afternoon. I'm sure Joe is right there. We've talked about him before, but, boy, he has been the face of this program during his career.
Well, he has, and, you know, he's a four-year starter. And as a coach, the nice thing about him is, it's, you know, you don't always have it where your best player is also your hardest worker, and that's what we have with him. And really, we have a core group of two or three seniors there. He and McCann and Kuchera, who really, you know, kind of taken the leadership role. Some of them are verbal, and some of them are not. And you know, when your coach and your seniors are on the same page, that goes a long ways to having a pretty good year.
Coach, best of luck in this GPAC tournament, and we'll catch up with you a little bit, maybe when you extend your season.
Well, we hope we can. I just had a conference call at the national office. You know, we got a new playoff plan in place, and we had a conference call this morning to see if we got everything in order to pull this off in a couple of weeks as a NAI organization.
Jim, best of luck, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Jim Bovee, head coach of the Hastings College Broncos, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They play tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. You can hear it on 1230 a.m. KHAS.
Sorry, Mike will have the call. Starting around there. Extend your season.
Oh, man. Coming up, Jeff Apel's going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Also, we're going to let you know that coming up tomorrow, Chris Katulak is going to join us. Tim Jamison, Missouri baseball coach, is scheduled to join us later this week. Paul Merkowitz is going to join us tomorrow on the program. We have so many folks at today that Paul said, hey, that's fine. We're going to have him on the program tomorrow, Friday. Steve Anderson, Fauna Park, and a whole lot more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hey, folks, don't forget, with the baseball and softball talk that we've had, Misco Sports is the place to go to get your team ready for the upcoming summer season. With 10% off all ball gloves plus, they've got everything you need, whether it's Little League, whether it's slow pitch, whether it's fast pitch, whether it's boys or girls softball, they've got it all there for you. Travel team, bat bags, they've got the Legion bats, they've got the catcher's equipment, baseballs, softballs, batting helmets, hitting nets, training supplies, the shoes that you need are there as well at Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. And don't forget a complete line of umpire apparel and protective equipment for the guys in blue, red, gray, green, whatever you wear behind the plate. You know, the balls and strikes guy. That's Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. We're back because they have made the post-position draws for the 135th Kentucky Derby. We'll give you the first breakdown right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Occasionally, some stuff on the Doug and Daddy Show may be offensive. The good stuff.
My name is Derek Berge, and I have the world's worst commute.
Quaker State wants to know, who has the world's worst commute?
74 miles, 4 hours. Miami, not happy.
Tough commute? Then get an oil that goes way beyond industry standards. Quaker State delivers 2 times better wear protection by bonding the metal surfaces. Quaker State. Real, durable oil. Enter your story now at QuakerState.com and Sprint Cup champ Jimmy Johnson can drive you to work. 2 times better wear protection based on Sequence 4A test using SAE 5W30.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
NCS Equipment Rental invites you to a grand opening celebration April 30th and May 1st from 8 to 5. Come see their new facility at 406 East J Street in Hastings. NCS is holding free OSHA-mandated forklift, aerial lift, and personal fall protection training both days. Don't miss this great opportunity to see equipment demonstrations, participate in free training, and register for free merchandise. Call NCS Equipment at 308-472-5077 to pre-register. And as always, NCS has the tools and equipment for all your construction needs.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Mainly cloudy skies will continue across the area today as we'll see more scattered showers and a few storms possible around the area as well, with high temperatures in the upper 60s. Southeast winds will stay at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Skies stay cloudy tonight with a possibility of some showers and storms. Lows back to 50. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We've been talking all kinds of sports today, and the date for the annual UNK Blue Gold Golf Scramble has been announced. It will be Monday, June 8th at the Kearney Country Club and Meadowlark Hills. Previous participants should have already received registration forms and are encouraged to turn those in right away. Change Daddy is coming to the now 20-year-old event, which benefits athletic scholarships at UNK. After a two-day format the past several years, the dinner and auction on Sunday and the golf on Monday, it will now be a standalone event on Monday with the 19th hole at Kearney's Holiday Inn after the golf, where they'll have a silent auction, hors d'oeuvres, refreshments, and the team and individual prizes will be handed out. For more information, contact the UNK Athletic Office. But Monday, June 8th, is the annual Blue Gold Golf Scramble in Kearney. Well, they have drawn the post positions for the 135th running of the Kentucky Derby, and we are pleased now to be joined from the Thoroughbred Times. Of course, you see all of his work daily and weekend for the Fauner Park races in the Grand Island Independent. Our buddy Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times in Kentucky is with us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff, once again, great to catch up with you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Doug. Always nice to talk to people back in Nebraska. Reminds me of all the good times I spent back there in Husker land.
I know. I haven't enjoyed a six-man football game since you've left.
Oh, you know, ironically, I still have people that ask me about six-man once in a while, and I do miss those days. I miss all that high school football, in fact.
Well, it's the great times, and I know folks still enjoy making fun of your picks weekly in the Independent.
I'm sure now that I'm there to defend myself, I'm sure it's probably even picked up a couple notches. But, hey, that's all right. We give a few winners out every now and then.
Well, now, Big Daddy, we have to have Jeff back, not only because we want to, but because he was first last year.
About,
on this
what,
program.
3 weeks before?
Yeah, he was first way out of selecting Big Brown.
That's exactly right, Jeff. So who's it going to be this year, and can we get the exacta from you?
Yeah, hey, actually, Daddy, I'm glad you asked that. I really like a horse, and I really like an exacta, believe it or not, and I'll be more than willing to give you both. I think the winner, I was just watching the draw show myself up here in my office here. I think the winner is horse number six, breaking from the sixth post position, Freezing Fire at 5-1 in the morning line. Now, this horse will have to overcome a little tradition here because he hasn't run in 5 weeks, but he is trained by Larry Jones, who, as you know, saddled the runner-up in the last two Kentucky Derbies. I like Freezing Fire, and I expect a big, big challenge at the end from a horse named I Want Revenge, trained by Jeff Mullins. Previously based in the West Coast, made his last couple starts in the East Coast, but he will be flying at the end with a 19-year-old jockey named Joe Talamo.
Those you like those babies right out of the get-go, and I guess, Jeff, one thing I have to ask, a lot of horses, including Rebel Stakes winner Win Willie, out of the Kentucky Derby, what have we had, four horses that were expected to be in this drawing this morning that have already scratched? How will that affect this race?
Well, you know, Doug, this full field of 20. I mean, you always have horses on standby. You know, of course, the Derby is based on, graded stakes earnings there, the more earnings you have to earn a starting spot in there. So there's always, I mean, to their credit, there's always a lot of people that want to jump in. I really felt bad when I read that Win Willie story this morning. Of course, he's trained by Mac Robertson from Schuyler, Nebraska.
Oh! So, you know,
that was our Nebraska connection right there, Doug, and I was rooting for him. I read the other day where he said that horse would love the mud if it's 6 inches deep down here. We got a bunch of rain yesterday down here, and I was rooting for the off track for him, but he's not going to get to go if he's a little filling in an ankle, it sounds like.
Jeff, when we get 20 head in the Derby, does it diminish the quality of horses? Do some of them not belong in there?
Yeah, it is, Daddy. You'll see a lot of guys right now that you'll say some of these horses, like, for instance, I know trainer Kelly Breen is listening to the show, so I'll say Atomic Rain, he was one of the late scratches going in there, just added in the other day when somebody else went out. That horse doesn't belong in the field, but it's the prestige of the Derby. We always sit there and laugh in the office, kind of say, there's going to be some guys in there, oh, he won't go in there. And I said, you've never seen the Kentucky Derby yet. It just draws people in. I think people just want to be part of the atmosphere. It might be a once-in-a-lifetime experience where you have a shot to go in there, so they go ahead and go. But it does, Daddy. I think the field should be limited to maybe about 15 or so, but 20, I guess whatever you got to do, though, too.
Totally agree. You bring up another interesting point. Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times joins us. Jeff, what has the economy done to the Kentucky Derby this year?
Nothing, really. I read a story in the local paper down here and stuff, and they talked about how all the parties are still going to go on. You know, a lot of those people are really wealthy, too. Obviously, they have the horse and things there. I don't think it's floated down at all. I know Enfield tickets, now, they never sell out. It's like if you and Doug came down here, you can buy tickets for $45. It's kind of an Enfield. It's a free-for-all inside. It's kind of like a college fraternity party, if you want to put it that way, kind of that kind of atmosphere.
I'm disappointed.
I suspect they'll have their usual 100-some thousand people there and just be wilder than heck, though, too, again.
Yeah, I hate to see girls with their shirts off. That's disappointing.
Oh, it is a tragedy, isn't it?
Jeff Apel joins us here. I Want Revenge is your morning line favorite at 3-1. Dunkirk is in there along with Pioneer of the Nile. Is that Pioneer of the Nile deal more Bob Baffert or is it more the horse?
I think it's more the horse, Doug. You know, we talked about both I Want Revenge and Pioneer of the Nile. And out in California, they have what they call synthetic surfaces out there. And what that is it's a surface that it could rain 5 inches tonight and the track would be fast tomorrow. It's an all-weather surface out there. Some horses can't run on that, and some horses can't make the adjustment and get off that synthetic surface and run on a natural dirt surface like we'll see Saturday at Churchill Downs. Now, I Want Revenge ran behind Pioneer of the Nile on the synthetic surface, was transferred to the East Coast, won races there on the natural dirt. He's got the question answered. Pioneer of the Nile on Saturday has to show, can he handle the transition? It's a big question, Doug. No one will be quite sure until we see the race there.
Jeff, who is the hottest jockey right now across the nation somebody might want to look out for?
I really think right now going to the race here, I think Julian Leperoux right now is just absolutely smoking right now. At Churchill Downs, Julian Leperoux is the man, and he's going to ride a horse named General Quarters, who is trained by a retired principal. He's 75 years old there, named Tom McCarthy. He's a neat story because he had horses for years and years and years and never had much of anything at all. Then he happens to claim this horse for $20,000. Well, it turns out to be his first Derby starter, but the best horse he's ever trained by far. Anyway, Leperoux's got the mount on him. He will be tough in there, too. Julian Leperoux right now is really someone to watch out at Churchill Downs.
We're talking with Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, you continue to read his work in the Grand Island Independent and making his Fonder Park selections. Let me ask you about a specific horse that I know is off the radar a little bit, but when this horse qualified for the field, I had some folks ask me about it, and I think simply from a name perspective. And as I did some research, a lot of the folks around on the Derby website kind of had him in the 7 to 10 range of their favorite horses, and that's Papa Clem. What can you tell me about that horse?
Ironically, I was just talking to my managing editor here in the magazine the other day, and I said, hey, Tom Law, I said, who is your pick in the Derby today? And he comes out of his office holding a green bumper sticker, and it says, I love Kentucky bred Papa Clem. That was, so he really likes Papa Clem. I do, too. I give him an outside shot there, Doug. I don't think he's quite as accomplished as some of the others in there. But, you know, it's a Derby, like Daddy mentioned. It's a 20-horse field. There's going to be a lot of traffic problems. I mean, a number of jocks will get off and say, I was stuck on the inside the whole way through. That's what makes a post position draw so critical. You don't want to get in that one hole like that. Because, I mean, you get shut off in that first turn out there. You might not ever get out of there in time to ever do any much of anything there on things. I would give Papa Clem a shot, but I would give him kind of the same kind of category as the other, like, mid-range, 8 to 10 to 12 to 1, right in that price there.
And, Jeff, two or three horses that we should automatically cross off the list?
Oh, Atomic Rain, definitely. I mean, the horse just shipped in. They called him yesterday and said, hey, we got a late scratch here. You want to come in? Yeah, I'll be there. Just shipped in from Monmouth Park. Join in the Dance, I think, has no shot at all. And, you know, there's some others. And Mind That Bird, I mean, you know, we're playing it. You know, I emailed you about evens and odds. We're playing evens and odds, and we got Mind That Bird in the 8-hole here at 50-1 shot. I wouldn't give Mind the Bird. I mean, I wouldn't play him, period, if he wasn't on the 8. I was kind of hoping his trainer would keep drawing the outside, but unfortunately, hanging his number on the 8, and I'm like, great, we got Mind That Bird, but I wouldn't use him in anything, no.
Jeff, it seems like the Derby favorites never seem to, or they haven't. You know, last year, Big Brown did, kind of broke that string. So is it you shy away, or you just handicap and you say, this is the best horse, and you just like that freezing fire?
Ironically, Daddy, the last couple of years I have shied away from the favorite. In fact, there was a time at Fonter Park in the 90s where I pretty much just took the favorite and just chucked it out and just said, the favorite's not going to win. And then last year I was so sold on Big Brown, I said, he is going to break the hex. Now, I do like I Want Revenge. He's my second pick in here, but I've had Freezing Fire voted number one he hasn't run in 5 weeks. I've had him voted first since then, and despite the five-week layoff, I mean, I really didn't think it'd be fair. Demote the horse when, I mean, the horse didn't do anything. His trainer just selected, hey, let's just give him a 5-week layoff here before the Derby.
Jeff Apel from the Thoroughbred Times. You can check out his work online. He's picking Freezing Fire on top of I Want Revenge for the 135th running of the Kentucky Derby. He had the right horse last year in Big Brown, and even if you pick the favorite, that doesn't mean a lot of people don't pick the favorite, but he had the winner. Jeff, last question, because I want to get away from the Derby, maybe of our folks on the show this week. You'll have as good an answer as anyone looking from the outside. We had six horses running the Bosselman on Saturday. We have said that on the show that is unacceptable for what is being termed the biggest horse race in the state of Nebraska. What needs to be done to make sure, and you can say what you want about the scratches, there were only eight horses that went to the draw anyway last Thursday morning. What can be done to assure a 10-horse top-line field at the Bosselman in the future?
Doug, you mentioned, by the way, the scratches right there, and that was a really unfortunate situation right there, especially with Steve Hull's colt, the Nuts. I mean, the Nuts is just, he's the second coming of Leaping Plum in my mind in terms of Fawner Park and things like that. Obviously, you took him out. Jonesboro, of course, ran down at Lone Star Park in the $300,000 race. Won that, a great move by his trainer that he won down there. You look around nationally, a lot of these races, you'll only see on Derby Day, like the Kentucky Oaks. I mean, they're going to run, which is a 3-year-old filly race, for $500,000. They've got a field of eight. They've got four empty stalls in the starting gate. You wouldn't think that'd be possible. A lot of tracks anymore, like nationally like that. I mean, Doug, honestly, there's a shortage of horses. Thursday at Hollywood Park in Inglewood, California, they had to call the races off because of a lack of entries. I mean, there's nationally, that's a problem. It's not just exclusive to Fawner Park like that. But I do think, Doug, of course, a couple of years ago, the Boss one was $100,000, and the $25,000 purse cut is no doubt impacting that. I mean, a lot of owners will look at that and say, oh, it'd be great to win a six-figure race like that, and that $25,000 purse cut is making a difference in terms of nominations like that and things big time. And, there's a lot of things going into that, though, too. Well, you know, nationally like that, a lot of other places to look and stuff like that. But the biggest thing is with the economy right now and how expensive it is to run horses and the ship and everything else, it is definitely making an impact, though.
Well, Jeff, we sure appreciate your time as always here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully you'll be cashing some tickets on Saturday, buddy. We'll talk to you again as the Triple Crown progresses.
Okay, Doug, well, thanks for having me on, and good luck to you there.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Apel joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Man, this is his passion. He loves all the sports when he's working at the Independent, but he loves horse racing. And again, we want the Bosselman to succeed, and I that's where I'm going here. I know it sounds maybe like I'm bashing the Bosselman. I am trying to find out what can be done. We're going to continue to go. We're going to continue to do good things. But we want to know what needs to be done from the fans' perspective to help this out. Sold out Fawner Park helped last Saturday, no doubt, Daddy.
No doubt about it. And I think that the fans want to see that race. The fans want to keep that race going. But you're right. You got to get the 10 quality horses in it. You got to have these guys quit playing these little games, too, to scare people off. If Jonesboro was never going to show up anyway, why was his name even mentioned? And supposedly that's a horse that scared a couple people off.
Yeah, that's too bad. We will continue our Kentucky Derby talk tomorrow with Chris Katulak from the TVG Network. Also, Joe DeMail stops in from Fantasy Players Edge with our weekly fantasy baseball update. Paul Merkowitz going to talk a little spring football as Hastings College has wrapped up. And we want to thank our guests on the show today, Jim Bovey, head coach Hastings College Baseball, Dan Simmons from UNK. Also want to thank Jeff Abel from the Thoroughbred Times and Kansas City Royal utility man Willie Bloomquist. If you missed any of it, go to the webpage, listen to the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.